Hey everyone, welcome to Chi-Town Hockey for April 27th, 2020. Thanks for tuning in, as always, really do appreciate it. Remember to contact the podcast. You can visit the Instagram at chitown.pod, visit the Twitter at chitownpod, you can email the podcast at chitownhockeypod@gmail.com, or you can also hit up my hockey account on Instagram at shyblackhawkstalk. Do send in any listener questions you might have through comments, DM, or anything like that. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the news today. So, Jacob Nielsen has followed in Victor Edsel's footsteps, and he signs a 2-year contract with Fagersted BK of the KHL, therefore leaving the Blackhawks. The 28-year-old center played 2 NHL games in 2018-19, and he played the majority of the past 2 seasons with the Blackhawks affiliate, the Rockford IceHogs. So in 2018-2019, he had 15 goals, 17 assists, and 32 points in 61 AHL games, and he was named Rockford's Most Valuable Player. Last April, he did sign a 1-year extension worth an annual average value of $700,000 in hopes of making the NHL roster. Obviously, that didn't happen, and in 1920, he remained in the AHL the whole season until it was paused due to the coronavirus, collecting 7 goals, 14 assists for 21 points. So obviously didn't quite hit the mark that he did in Rockford last year, but he came close. He just needed 10 more points. Maybe if the season wasn't paused, he could have went on a run and hit that 32 again. So, but yeah, obviously he didn't produce at the level he was last year. However, these are very uncertain times right now, and he didn't exactly have the full season to do that. So, Fagersted sporting director Jacobson stated that Nielsen was on the club's radar before he moved to North America. So, obviously, Nielsen wanted a chance to play in North America in the NHL before he went back over to Europe. Now, he obviously didn't get that chance, so Fagersted must have been on his radar as he remained in Rockford this year. And in a release statement, Jacobson said that of Nielsen that he's a smart, skillful player of good age who is also a very good skater. He wants to go home and play in the national team again, and it feels really good to have such a piece in place. He'll be important in our team both in power play and in box play, which is also the penalty kill for anyone who does not know. Now, like I said, he will join Victor Edsel in Fagersted playing in the KHL with him. And in a separate release statement from Nielsen regarding Edsel, he said, "It'll be great fun," Nielsen said. "We met in Allsvenskan, Sweden's second division, when Mora met Karlskoga. Then we played together over in Rockford. Victor is one of the people I have been in contact with when Fagersted started to show interest." So, I'm not sure exactly if the reason he chose Fagersted is because Victor Edsel is playing there. He left the Blackhawks to play there. So, that could feed into it. But something that's quite interesting is that after 1 year in the AHL, he signed a 1-year extension in hoping that he'd make the NHL roster that year. Personally, I feel that's a little bit far-fetched. I feel like he didn't exactly give himself or the team enough time to develop and really look over him and see what he's good at. He really didn't give himself or the team enough time before he signed this deal with Fagersted. So I personally think that that's a bit shady on his side, but apparently, he wanted to go back to Europe, and he wanted to play in Europe. So, I don't really think the Blackhawks are losing much. They do have a long pipeline of prospects. He did only play 2 NHL games when there are multiple other AHL players who have played more than him. So, the Blackhawks do have that pipeline of prospects. I don't think that him going over and signing with Fagersted is going to necessarily hurt the Blackhawks, per se. Obviously, they don't want players leaving, but I don't think this one is going to hurt the Blackhawks because obviously they haven't had many players leave in the past couple of years, except for really Victor Edsel and now Jacob Nielsen. There haven't been too many other players that have left the Blackhawks, to go play in Europe because they are a blue collar organization who have had much success and a veteran filled team. So, yeah, like I said, I don't really think this is going to hurt the Blackhawks in the long run that much. He was a center, and the Blackhawks do have a large pipeline of centers, like I said. And apparently, the Blackhawks, like I said in the last podcast, they have Dylan Strome on the table. And if the Blackhawks were looking to bring him up to the NHL full-time next year, then he really actually could have helped, especially if they did trade Dylan Strome. Because like I said in the last episode, if they trade Strome, the only two really good centers you have is Jonathan Toews and Kirby Dach. And you have to hope that Kirby Dach emerges into that NHL role player that they believe he can be. So with him leaving, I think this is going to affect what Stan Bowman gives up and what he's willing to take to get rid of Dylan Strome. Now, I've heard rumors that he could be talking to Buffalo, but Buffalo really doesn't have that great of a roster. I don't really think you're going to get too much out of them for Dylan Strome, especially because he only had one good year. Didn't really fit in Arizona. So you really just don't know, especially when these players leave, how it's going to affect them. But like I said, I'm not trying to send mixed signals, but it really could go either way. If they keep Dylan Strome, I don't think it's going to affect them too much. But if Dylan Strome leaves and he trades him away, Jacob Nielsen really could become an NHL player next season because he would need to help fill that center role. Because after Jonathan Toews and Kirby Dach, you don't have too many other centers who can even fit that third line role. The only center you have that could even fit the third line center role is Andrew Shaw. But even then, he hasn't even really played center that frequently since the 2013 playoffs when he played with Patrick Kane and Brandon Saad. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and move on here now. So, something I want to talk about now, unrelated to the Blackhawks a little bit, is Dustin Byfuglien. So, he ended, or terminated, I should say, his contract with the Winnipeg Jets, therefore walking away from a $14 million contract owed to him by the Jets. Now, there are some rumors that say the Blackhawks could try to bring him back on a team-friendly short-term deal. Now, I don't exactly know what that means because with his age, they could bring him back for a year. They could bring him back for three. Really, it's that 1 to 3 years is considered that kind of short-term deal. So with his age, you really just don't know what the Blackhawks are willing to give. And even with the money, the Blackhawks are a very cap-strapped team right now, and you could really only sign him for maybe at max $2 to $3 million, because with what the Blackhawks owe to Brent Seabrook, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, it's a tremendous amount of money. Now, a good example is Boston. They have three-star players in Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, and Patrice Bergeron, each making a little above $6 million. That trio of superstars don't make as much as Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews do combined. And nothing against Jonathan Toews, but age is definitely catching up. And if he's owed $10.5 million for the next, what is it, 4 years, I believe. He's currently 30, 31 years old, I believe. So if he's going to be playing on that contract until he's 34, 35, I don't believe $10 million is the right salary for him because age is definitely going to catch up and he's going to start slowing down. And this is where you're probably going to see Kirby Doc. If he emerges as the player the Blackhawks want him or need him to be, he could take over that number one center line role. Whether he'll be playing with Patrick Kane, or even if they move Jonathan Toews over to the wing, which I doubt they'll do. That's probably one of the most, I doubt it's going to happen. But age is definitely catching up to Jonathan Toews. And this is where Stan Bowman hasn't been the GM that he's needed to be. Yes, he was able to keep the Blackhawks in contention for those 5, 6 years. But if you really look at who built this team, who built this core of players, it was Dale Tallon. Dale Tallon drafted Patrick Kane. Dale Tallon drafted Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Corey Crawford. Even Brian Bickell, who doesn't play anymore, was a big part of the Blackhawks' success. Now, I'm not saying that Stan Bowman hasn't drafted any good players. He has. He drafted Andrew Shaw. He drafted Brandon Saad. He's now drafted Kirby Doc. He drafted Ian Mitchell. Stan Bowman has actually had pretty good luck in the draft. Not exactly luck, but he's drafted some good players. Just players, they aren't good enough as Jonathan Toews or even Patrick Kane. They aren't players that can lead a franchise. Andrew Shaw is not a first-line center. He's not a first-line player who can lead a franchise. Hell, he's not even an assistant captain or an alternate captain, whatever you'd like to call it. Brandon Saad, he can maybe play on the first line, but I really see him as more of a second-line, third-line winger. I think he might be like maybe third, fourth in line to wear the A, but he's not a guy who can lead a team either. Now, both of them have experienced success. They've been spoiled early in their careers with success. So they obviously have some leadership skill, but I just don't believe that they have the leadership that it takes to lead a team. Now, Stan Bowman has had good luck in the draft, like I said. But if you look at the Boston Bruins, they have constantly drafted good players. Charlie McAvoy, David Pastrnak in 2015, Jake DeBrusk. They've just had, for the last over a decade, they've just been cycling through good players to the point where it's like it doesn't even matter who's on the roster, they're just a good team. And that's something that Stan Bowman hasn't done. He hasn't made those good trades that we need him to make. A good example is at this year's trade deadline, he had, I believe, at least $12 million to work with. And Stan Bowman and John McDonough are preaching this win now. So if you want to win now, you could have gone out and gotten Tyler Toffoli. Trade Robin Leonard for Tyler Toffoli. That would have been a perfect trade. Robin Leonard going to the Kings. Jonathan Quick is slowing down. Their backup goaltender, Pettersson, he is not looking like a starting goalie. Send a 28-year-old Robin Leonard over there. Jonathan Quick is going to be retiring in the next couple of years. Once he retires, he's already got Robin Leonard there, and they don't need to worry about a goalie. Now, you can look at the Blackhawks. We traded away Robin Leonard. Corey Crawford's 35 years old. He's going to be retiring in the next couple of years. Who do we have to replace him? Colin Delia and Kevin Lankinen, let's face it, do not look like NHL goalies. They can get good like any goalie, but they are not NHL goalies. They are AHL goalies at this point in their careers. So, bringing in Tyler Toffoli, a solid second-line winger, really could have changed the Blackhawks' fortunes by a ton. They might have even slid into the wild card spot. Hell, who knows? They might have even gotten into the first wild card spot. So, Stan Bowman has not made the trades that he needs to make in order to keep this franchise afloat and contending. But remember, they keep preaching a win now. But they send mixed signals because they also say they have to plan for the future, which they are doing. But if you also want to win now and keep the window open with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, you need to go out and get those guys that will help your team, even if it's on a rental deal. If you knew Robin Leonard was going to ask for too much money, you can send him to the Kings in exchange for Tyler Toffoli, who is a guy who can help your team by a large margin. Like I said, they could have made the playoffs with him. He could have been the boost that the Blackhawks needed. And Stan Bowman has failed time and time again to provide that for Blackhawks fans, for Blackhawks players, for the coaching staff. He has failed. And I'm not saying that he's failed Jeremy Colleton by not bringing in good players, because part of the blame is on Jeremy Colleton. As a coach, you need to set a tone. You need to have these guys out there practicing. If they're not winning games, you need to have them out there working their butt off, just like Joel Quenneville had them doing. It was a 30-minute practice, but you knew as soon as you stepped on the ice, you would be moving for every single second of that 30-minute practice. Here, Jeremy Colleton saying, "Oh, this is an optional morning skate now. This is an optional practice." I'm looking at the Blackhawks Instagram of their stories from practice, and there's players just standing around. As a coach, you have to set a tone for your players. You need to make them want to win, per se. Because if you lose them, then they're not going to be motivated. They're not. So as a coach, you need to set that tone. And he has time and time again failed to set it. I believe both Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colleton are at fault here. But as long as Stan Bowman is the Blackhawks general manager, Jeremy Colleton is going to be the Blackhawks head coach. Because that's just how it worked out. Now, Stan Bowman would look like a major pussy if he walked up to John McDonough and said, "All right, this didn't work out. Let me hire another coach." Now, I doubt that Stan Mc or not Stan, I'm sorry, guys. I doubt that John McDonough would allow him to hire another coach. But if he did, then who's to say it won't turn out like this one did with Jeremy Collinson? 33-year-old guy coming in, trying to take over a room full of veterans. Duncan Keith's older than him. Corey Crawford's older than him. It just didn't work out. It really just didn't. So, Stan Bowman needs to push Jeremy Colleton to get the respect of these players, and he needs to push him to set that tone in the locker room. Otherwise, John McDonough is going to fire them both on the spot because Blackhawks fans are unhappy. They set the tone winning the Stanley Cup in 2013 and 2015 that this team can be a dynasty. This team can win. They set that standard for all Blackhawks fans, Chicago or not. All Blackhawks fans across the United States or even overseas, they set that standard that they are a winning team and that they will win. And the past 3 years, Stan Bowman has failed to do that. And John McDonough has failed holding Stan Bowman to a higher standard. There's a point in time where John McDonough needs to look at his general manager and say, "From now on, you need to start coming to me because this team is not getting any better." It started right after they lost in the first round of 2016. Traded away Jalmerson at the 2017 draft. Traded away Panarin. Panarin was in his prime. Now you look at Panarin in New York, he's practically holding them in that playoff spot. The Rangers would most likely be at the bottom of the division if it was not for Artemi Panarin. Now, they wouldn't be at the bottom of the conference like Detroit, but they would probably be somewhere around where the Devils are right now if there wasn't Panarin. Now, I'm not giving credit to any of the other players because Mika Zibanejad has played very well for them. So it's not that I'm giving all the credit to Panarin. It's just I'm trying to explain that Stan Bowman made a terrible decision in doing this. And then saying it's for cap reasons. They both had the same cap hit. Yes, Saad's deal ended 2 years after, but you probably could have kept your championship window open at least another 2 to 3 years if you kept Panarin. So I just personally think that was one of the worst moves in Blackhawks history. Welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Now on a separate and happier note, Corey Crawford has welcomed his second son, Camden, into the world. So congratulations to Crow on his new baby boy. Now, on to some NHL news that's rather interesting. The NHL has provided the fans a reopening plan. It's rumored that the NHL is going to start a four-phase plan, and these phases would include Phase 1 would be relocating all players back to team, base/home cities. Phase 2, quarantine all players/players' families for a 2-week/14-day period. Phase 3, open a mini-training camp for about 2 to 3 weeks' time. And Phase 4, obviously, would be to play games. Now, these games, I'm going to guess that they would be in empty arenas because it really just isn't safe right now to attend a game as a fan filled in an arena of 18,000 people. Now, these games would be played in four different cities is what the NHL is suggesting, playing host to multiple teams. And some arenas that the NHL has listed that could be used would be the XL Energy Center in Minneapolis, the BB&T Center in Sunrise, Florida, and the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, the NHL stated that the goal is to play the remainder of the regular season in a four-round best-of-seven playoff series bracket. However, the NHL is most concerned about playing a full 82-game season and playoff next year, which I personally believe is what the focus should be on, because you're going to get more money out of a full season and playoff next year than you are going to get out of the remainder of the season and playoffs this year, because most fans are going to be too scared to go to the games. You're going to have empty arenas. Same thing in the playoffs. You're going to get more money out of next year, a season and a playoffs, than you are this year. So that's going to do it for the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I appreciate all you guys for tuning in, listening. To contact the podcast, you can go to Twitter at ChiTownPod. Hit up the Instagram at ChiTown.pod. Hit up my Hockey Blackhawks Instagram at ChiBlackhawksTalk. Or you can email the podcast at ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. All these questions, really do appreciate them, guys. I need some questions to get in because obviously the news is a little slow. As the coronavirus keeps on going around the country. So all these questions, I really do appreciate them, guys. Please make sure to send them in. Otherwise, this podcast is definitely going to get really boring for both you and me. So once again, really do appreciate all you guys tuning in. Hope you guys are all staying safe out there with the coronavirus. And I'll hopefully see you guys in the next episode.